good when you come back for the evening worship, and you had a few extra faces that weren't there that morning, so we're always thankful for that. Always good to see that, see those who may not have been well this morning, doing better this evening, and always happy to come together. As I think I told Ron, I think we have maybe slightly more this evening than we did this morning. Not something you typically see on Sunday night, but that's a good thing. So it's good to go ahead and get back into James this evening, as we've been doing on Sunday nights. And so if you will open your Bibles to James chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 18. James 3, starting in verse 13, and working our way down through the rest of the chapter here. It says, "Who is wise in understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you are bitter, jealousy, and selfish ambition in your hearts, but if you have jealousy, bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the heart and a harvest of righteousness is sown by, in peace by those who make peace." And so these are the verses we're going to look at tonight. And I think there's some good verses to sit back and think about and consider. And it starts off with just that question of, who is wise in understanding among them? Who claims to be wise? Who's the one that is wise in understanding here today? And many can get caught up in thinking of who they might put up as wise men, wise people, wise in this certain area and wise in that area. And when we get talking about the Bible, though, there's a certain wisdom that we should be pointing out and striving for. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And looking at what wisdom we shouldn't be necessarily focused on. And so he starts off with this point here of who is wise. And gets caught up when we can know who is wise, though. We can know who is wise by the conduct, by the way they live their lives. Because that's what it gets into here in verse 13, and asking who is wise and understanding among you. By his good conduct, let him show his works. Let him show his works. And if you claim to be wise, then let us see. Let us see that wisdom. Let us see the wisdom that you have. Show it. Because we've just went through James chapter 2, right? And worked our way through those verses, starting back in verse 14 all the way through 26. And then going through and talking about faith without works is dead. And so you have verse 18, which tells us there, James 2 and verse 18, it says, "But someone will say to you, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And so going along with here, chapter 3, it's saying, you claim to be wise, and show it. Show the wisdom in your actions. Show how you understand the will of God. Show how you know right from wrong. Show that you are able to discern the truth and be able to correct somebody and reprove somebody and instruct one another in righteousness. We have to be willing to show it. One who is truly wise is going to be known because they are producing fruits of righteousness. We'll know each other by the fruits. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 16. Matthew 7 and in verse 16. It says here, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And so again here, telling us that we will know. Because they will be producing those fruits of righteousness. They will be producing love and kindness and mercy and goodness and all the good things that come from God. That will be coming from them. And the things that they get caught up in doing will help produce that in others. So we know who is wise and understanding, because we can sit back and truly take a look. Again, this will go back and what we had already talked about just here in chapter 3 when we talked about the tongue last week. And it gets caught up at the end of those verses that we had looked at last week. It says, "Does the spring pour forth the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, and grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pond yield fresh water." And it goes back to, you know, verses 9 and 10. You know, we bless our Lord with our mouth, but then we go curse those who he created in his own image. And he says, these things ought not to be. And so you may at one point think, well, that sounds like a good person, but if you stick around long enough and we hear them continue to talk and they start cursing others and they start swearing and they start doing things that are not producing fruits of righteousness, then we can know whether they are wise or not, how wise they truly are, whether they are children of God or not. So that question continues on the point, who among you is wise and understanding? Who among us is that? And so you go further into it, it brings out things that are not wisdom from above. Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those that have that wisdom from above. And so you have James 3 and verse 14 there. It says, "But if your heart, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth." Selfish and bitter jealousy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, if you will. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, it says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." And it goes into that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. And again, so the bitterness, the bitter jealousy. It's just jealous of what others have and what others are able to obtain and what they get to go through. And we get caught up in being jealous and it becomes bitter and it's just life is not fun and you don't make it any fun for anyone else. It's bitter. It's that food that you don't want to taste and think about because it just don't taste good. It's not fresh and it's no good. Again, so that is not within the wisdom from God. Being caught up in being bitter and jealous. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, as it reads here and goes forth and says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." Again, here, just put these things away from you. And it goes along when we're jealous, it's about being selfish, right? It's, you know, you're jealous of what other people have because you can't learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep, but it's just simply, I don't care if they're weeping, as long as I'm happy. I don't care if they're happy because now I'm jealous about what they got. So it comes back to that selfish ambitions here. And again, something we pointed out this morning in the adult Bible class in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, as we're going along and talking about being members of one another and how they are split and how they are divided, and Paul's trying to instruct them that they all be one-minded. And he says that don't think beyond the Scriptures, don't go beyond Christ, so that no one is going to be puffed up one against the other, one higher than the other. And we're not going to esteem ourselves, but rather we're going to have a good attitude, a godly attitude of serving one another, of helping one another, of having mercy for each other, forgiving and loving, rather being selfish. Because when we get caught up in that kind of attitude of, well, I'm better than you, and I serve, you know, I was taught by, you know, you truly get caught up in just being selfish. Trying to hold yourself higher, trying to put yourself up above others. And so that's not the wisdom we get from God. Again, God is our creator. Jesus was there. All things were made through him, and yet he became lower than angels. He came and lived a life here on earth where he could be beaten and scourged and spat on and cursed and nailed to a cross. For following his example, we have to humble ourselves. In James 3 and verse 15, there says, this is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Again, going back to Corinthians, as we talked this morning, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, how we pointed out this is carnal minded. This is them being fleshly minded in their actions and in their thoughts and in how they were trying to conduct themselves and in higher esteem one another. Because they were fleshly minded. He said, you're not able to be taught on these spiritual matters because you are still infants in Christ, because you still have a fleshly mindset. I mean, you look here and it says it's they're caught up in is earthly, unspiritual, even further demonic. You know, sometimes we get caught up in, well, that's going a little too far. That's a little extreme. The Bible gets extreme sometimes because they're saying that mindset is a demonic mindset. To be bitter about others and to be jealous over whatever everybody else has got. To be selfish and put yourself above others. That's a Satan attitude. Satan puts himself above everyone else. That's what it's telling us here. Our mindset shouldn't be caught up in like that. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 18, it says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory and their shame with a mindset on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Again, here their glory and everything that we get caught up as earthly wisdom is saying it's going to be the destruction of these people. We should not go down that path. In James 3 and in verse 16 it says, for where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. So where these things exist, where this mindset lands, it's not going to be a happy dwelling place. And I believe we're going to talk more on this subject here as we get into the lesson next Sunday night and start into chapter 4 as it goes in and asks that question at the very beginning, 4 and verse 1. It says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that your passion are at war with your desires? And so we're going to talk about this a little bit more detail next Sunday night when we get into chapter 4. But we need to understand that this is not wisdom that comes from above. This is not wisdom that comes from God. So what is the wisdom that we should be looking at? It says, in meekness of wisdom. You know, it's not the prideful wisdom and getting caught up as this world, but in meekness, humbleness. And so in James 3 and verse 13, that's what it starts off. Who is wise in understanding? By the conduct they're going to show. So in verse 3 and verse 15, again, here telling us where it's supposed to come from. Wisdom that comes down from above. Making sure we remember that it's not the wisdom from the world. Not wisdom of mankind, but wisdom that is given to us from God. And so you look at verse 17. Verse 17 just goes forth and lists a bunch of things. Again, it's just one small verse and all this, but then there's so many points that you throw right in there. And verse 17 says, but wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And so it starts off, it's first pure. Wisdom from above is first pure. Why? Because it is the truth. It is from God. It's with love. It doesn't have selfish ambition behind it. It does not have jealousy behind it. It is pure from God. Because God, again, God is love. God is caring. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is humble. And so when you look at God and that's the wisdom we're trying to gain, you can't help but say that's pure wisdom. That's pure. And what we should be striving to have and seeking out to gain. God is wiser than us all. Again, you go to Corinthians and we'll see that it brings out the point that it is, even his foolishness is wiser than the wisest of men. We want pure wisdom. Wisdom that is peaceable. Again, you go to Matthew and we see there, you go through the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who are peaceable with one another. Those who are striving to find a way. Again, as we talk about members of one another in our adult class, that we're talking about how we can continue to work with each other. And one of the questions, or a couple of the questions basically we've been going through in this last lesson, is asking those questions of how we've overcome conflict and continue to maintain unity. Because it's not those black and white issues of thou shalt and thou shalt not, and that it's going to break their faith, and that we can say that they're in sin. And so how have we been able to do that? Well, we're striving to get peace with one another, striving to continue to work with God and work with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we go into continuing gentleness, I know I didn't spell that right up there, but being gentle. And so here we continue to be pure and then peaceable and gentle with one another. Actually being gentle, again, I bring it out to a lot because I think sometimes we sway one way or the other. Either sometimes we get caught up and we're sometimes too gentle and we don't ever take that bold action that needs to be take place. But sometimes we're always bold, we're always loud, we're always right in someone's face, and there's a time to step back and be gentle. And so we do see the wisdom in being gentle and confronting one another, especially the example in Corinthians is, Paul's being quite bold, but at the same time, if they're as infants in Christ, you have to have a point of where you build them up here and there. We have to be gentle with one another, helping one another. And I believe in the commentary, as I was looking at that word, it went along with a point. The word that made up the word gentleness was making a word that went with reasonable. And so you're reasonable within talking with others. And so going on to the next point of open to reason, getting caught up and knowing that we are open to listen to each other, that we're willing to work with one another, open to listening and hearing each other out. Even when it comes to having a Bible study and, you are fully persuaded on what is right, what must be done, entering into a Bible study and just confronting somebody and drilling it on and not allowing them to speak, not allowing them to give where they're coming from, is not going to allow them to open up and truly listen to you. So sometimes we have to say, all right, I admit that I'm a human. I'm someone that could have made a mistake. I might have interpreted this wrong. So let me hear what your thoughts are, and then we'll come to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say, and you and I will discuss that passage together. And we'll come to a conclusion that shows us what God wants from us. Open to listening to each other and seeing how they got to a certain point, and then having the opportunity to be gentle and guiding them in the right direction. And of course, being open to say, well, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I see where you were, and I see how I misinterpreted that. It happens from time to time. And so we have to look and be open for reason and full of mercy. Full of good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. Again, where would we be without God's mercy? Where would we be without His kindness and love and forgiveness and mercy that He has shown to us? We'd be without hope. There'd be no reason to be here today to take the Lord's Supper, because if He was unmerciful, if He wasn't willing to forgive us, we would have no hope. We'd have no home in heaven. We wouldn't have forgiveness of sins. So we have to be willing to show mercy unto others as God has shown mercy to us, and forgive others as He has forgiven us. And doing all these things and being pure and peaceful, gentle, studying with others and opening to listening and showing kindness and forgiveness unto others, that's going to produce good fruits. That's going to help show others how kind and people are going to want to be around you. They can tell that you're not selfish about yourself. It's going to produce good fruits. And again, not being impartial, showing one person a little bit of favor more than the other, earning other people a little higher than others, or saying they can do it, but they can't. You can't be impartial. We have to make sure we are going forth and teaching the word unto all. That if we practice church discipline with this person over here, we've got to practice church discipline with this person over here. God shows no partiality. We've got to make sure that the wisdom we have, again, comes back to first being pure, and that means it's impartial. Everybody has to be baptized to be forgiven. Everybody has to remain faithful till death to enter into heaven. And then it ends with being sincere here. It can't be mom and dad's faith, mom and dad's wisdom. Well, dad said the Bible said. Mom said the Bible said. The preacher said the Bible said. We have to have a sincere faith, a sincere wisdom and understanding of the truth, that we know it for ourselves. Well, this is what the Bible says. And I'm here, let me show you in James. Let me show you in Hebrews. Let me show you in Matthew. Because we are sincere and we made that faith our own. We've taken Jesus' teaching and made them our own. And so we have to have a sincere faith. And so it ends in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown, and peace by those who make peace." As we go through the wisdom from above, it comes down to a harvest of righteousness that is sown by those who make peace. So if we're going forth and trying to start a conflict, and we're going forth and trying to just make everything about ourselves, and we are just so selfish and focused on ourselves and prideful, we're not pursuing the peace that God is trying to lead us to. But if we go to God and we're seeking peace, we're seeking to have the burdens washed off our shoulders, to have our sins forgiven so that we need not to worry, and then growing in His grace and knowledge of truth and adding His wisdom to our faith and to our conscience, then again, we're going to produce good fruits. We're going to help go forth and spread the good word, spread the seed that God has given to us. And I want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you get to obey the gospel, we always want to make sure the opportunity is given to everybody to do so. The opportunity to be baptized, wash your sins away, knowing that God is ready to forgive you, ready to wash your sins away. That as you're raised up out of that water, that you come out a new person with a home in heaven. If you're here and you need the prayers of congregation or desire to be baptized, we let it be known as we stay in the same.